Warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I send greetings from Calvary Pandan BP Church to one and all, and to thank God and to thank the session, Elder Koh and all the deacons for this privilege to be invited here to speak at the camp and to share God's word with you this morning. Please keep your Bibles turned to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai means festive or festival. Are you a spiritual or a carnal person? How would you answer this question? Can a person who is carnal be made spiritual by doing spiritual things like prayer, like fasting, like reading the Bible? The Bible tells us that's impossible, because if there are holy things, when a sinner touches that holy thing becomes unclean. The holy thing will not make the sinner holy. It does not work that way. So how does a person become spiritual? A person is spiritual from inside out, not from outside in. That means a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior, for when accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, he has his sins cleansed from within. His conscience is cleansed of all the sins that he has committed against God. And for that very reason, that person is considered as spiritual. And therefore, as a Christian, a spiritual person, everything you do and touch will have a spiritual value and significance. And so Jesus taught us that even as simple as giving someone a glass of cold water in Jesus' name, you will not lose your reward. Now, just because you say you are a Christian does not automatically mean that your life is a life of a spiritual person. Because there are those who live their lives like Lot, the nephew of Abraham. He was vexed every day when he woke up in Sodom because he loved the world. He built his life in the world. And so therefore he is a clear example of what we call a very unspiritual believer. He was called a just man by God in 1 Peter. But the physical life that he lived was a wreck. And his life was a terrible testimony to his own family. So much so that on the day of judgment when fire and brimstone came upon Sodom, he tried to witness to his own daughter who was married. And his son-in-law mocked and laughed at him because he had lost his moral right to testify of the grace and the mercies of God, because his life as a Christian was carnal. Spiritual or carnal is the question that we need to ask before God this morning. Not your neighbor, but ourselves. Because no one can read your heart except God. So are we spiritual or are we carnal? It is more than just attending church. It is more than just saying, I am a Christian. As you see from this chapter in the book of Haggai. Haggai was a prophet whose contemporary was Zechariah. They had been sent by God sometime in the year 520 BC. 16 years after Israel had returned from exile in Babylon. The purpose of the return was to rebuild the Temple of Solomon, or the temple itself. They started building in the year 536 BC. But very soon, the Samaritans, who were half Jew, half Gentile, came to offer their help. But they were soundly rejected by the Jews. And because of the rejection, they were very upset and they wrote letters to the king of Persia. Because the superpower at the time that ruled the Middle East, which included the land of promise, were the Persians. And with all kinds of lies and fabrication, the Persian king was convinced that they must stop their building works, the temple. And so for these past 16 years, 536 to 520 BC, the temple that they were supposed to build laid in ruins. Only the foundation was completed before they were told to stop work by the Persian king. And so God sent Haggai to stir up the hearts and the minds of the people of Israel and Judah to rebuild God's temple. And that's what you find in this chapter. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, so he was the political leader, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, the spiritual leader. So in order to stir within the hearts of the nation who had returned, who had been discouraged for the past 16 years to complete something they had started, that was the temple of God. God began by stirring the hearts of the leaders, Zerubbabel and Joshua. And this was what God said. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves in the self-evaluation of whether I'm spiritual or carnal is what you find in verse 2. What did the people say? Is this what we say too? If we say this, it is a sign of carnality. The people said this, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. In other words, let us wait. Let us wait. Wait for what, you may ask? Well, when they returned to the land of promise, the city of Jerusalem was in ruins. At this point in time, it was still in ruins. They will be rebuilt much, much later after the completion of the temple. When they went back to survey the land of promise, it was not a land like in the days of Joshua, flowing with milk and honey. It was devastated. It was left untouched for the past 70 years, because for over 400 years, since the time they entered, since the time they were in exile, a long, long period of time, they came into the land of promise, sometime in the year 1445. They left Egypt, 1405, they entered the promised land. So for a long period of time, actually more than 400 years, by the time they were put into exile. First time, 722 BC, second time, 586 BC. Nearly 1,000 years when Judah was destroyed. They had not been observing the Sabbath. Not the Sabbath day. Of course, they did not observe the Sabbath day as well. But the Sabbath year, where the land was supposed to be left vacant. The land must rest. You do not till the land. They did not do so. That's why 70 years of rest was given to the land. Imagine the weeds that would have grown. The homes were in rubbles, in ruins. And since we can't rebuild the temple, the Persian kings say we can't, so forget it. We don't. So what do? We build our own home. Let us build up our economic prosperity, build up our bank account, make our lives more comfortable. Then maybe, we will think of rebuilding God's temple. That was their thinking, that was their rationale. And so they said, wait. Three W's. The first W is wait. Many, many of us will say that to God as well, isn't it? Wait until I retire. Then maybe I will come and serve the Lord. Wait until maybe I'm more established in my working life. Then maybe I'll consider. Wait is something that we continue to do today, as it was in the past, as it was in the Old Testament time. Wait. God's work takes second place. My life, my work, my will dominates. And so we tell God, wait. Is this a very common word that we use to God as well? Wait until my children are more established. Wait until they enter into university. Wait, all kinds of excuses and reasons. We just simply put God's work one side. Wait. That was what the people said to the Lord. The time is not come. Wait. Wait. Do we tell the Lord the same thing? The temple is not the building. The temple is your life in the New Testament. Your life as a Christian spiritual or carnal? Wait, let me be more carnal, we tell the God. That's what they told the Lord in those days. Let me be more carnal. Carnal means be more worldly, be more occupied with material things. I have my studies, I have my degrees, I have my promotions, I have my job, especially in this economic crisis. I must tell God, please wait. Let the crisis be over. Wait for me to get so much money every month before I learn to give of my tithe and offering. Wait, for so many reasons, you just simply tell God, wait. No time for spiritual things. No time to memorize God's word. No time to come for prayer meeting. No time to study God's word. Some of us even no time to come to church. Wait. A very, very common word that we use before God. And so, spiritual or carnal? You still want to wait? You think we have a lot of time left? You think the world will continue to enjoy economic prosperity like what worldly, carnal economists tell us? Oh, there is always this hump, there is this valley, there is this up and this down. And so now we are at the very bottom. Oh, soon we will come up. They say 2010 is the year where the world's economy will soon begin to climb up again. You think this cycle will go on forever? What do you think of the phrase in the last days mean? It can mean two things. Last days, globally, last days of man's existence before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many signs are already fulfilled. It could also mean last days for you and for me to be on this earth. Just before we came, there was a 21-year-old lieutenant who was trying to look at some vehicle. Not a three-tonner, just a jeep or something. Somehow there was this recruit, 19-year-old recruit, or 19-year-old NS boy, who had no driver's license. Don't know whether he pulled the brake or he released the brake or did something, the vehicle reversed. And this 21-year-old lieutenant was caught. And he died a few hours later. 24-year-old tennis professional dropped dead suddenly. Last days could mean many things. Please do not procrastinate, because that's the meaning of the word wait. Wait. I must do my thing. That's carnality. That's what the whole nation said to the Lord, and the Lord had to stir up the hearts of the leaders. That's where you must start. The leaders must not use the word wait. Because if the leaders wait, you rest assured, the country, the nation, the people of God in His church will also wait. No time for spiritual things, only carnal things. Wait. If you wait, the next W that you have to consider is waste. That word is found in the next section, verse 3 to verse 11. Let's see what we waste. Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this how lie waste? You lived in your beautiful sealed houses, spent so much time, even have time to decorate the ceiling of your houses. You don't need to decorate the ceiling of your houses. You have your four walls, you have your roof, you have so much time to even decorate the ceiling of the houses, and the house of God was left in ruins and you don't even bother. You know how important the house of God was to Israel? It was not just a building, you know that. In the Old Testament, how do they worship? In the New Testament, Jesus told us that we worship in spirit and in truth. In the Old Testament, the people of God worship in spirit, in truth, and in location. Because without the temple, there is no worship. They can't bring their sin offering to deal with their sins. They can't bring their burnt offering, their peace offering, and their thank offering to God without the temple. So to them, the temple is the heart and soul of the worship life of the people of Israel. And so without the temple, They can't get their sins cleansed. A man who has just recovered, say, from leprosy or some kind of boils on his skin, he has to bring a sin offering to the Lord after he had been checked up by the elders or by the priest that he is now a clean person. He can't do that. A woman who has gone through her monthly cycle is now considered unclean, and after a period of cleansing, she's supposed to bring a sin offering. She can't, because there is no temple. In order for the offering to be accepted by God, you must have clean animals. Animals approved by God. An ox, sheep or goats, or turtle doves or pigeons. You must have the correct people. That would be the priests, descendants of Aaron. They had these two. They had the animals. They had the priest, because Joshua was the high priest. But they did not have the place. And without the place, no matter how many animals you bring, no matter how sincere the priests are, no matter how equipped and how prepared the priests are, no use. You don't have the place. And that's why the temple was the heart and soul of Israel's existence. Israel was not like any other nation. Israel was not supposed to be an economic nation. It was definitely not a political nation. It was supposed to be a spiritual nation. It was supposed to be the light and salt in a world that is in spiritual darkness. And without the temple, they had no spiritual life. And so when they did not rebuild the temple, and all they occupied themselves with were beautiful homes. Come into my house. Look how beautiful my house is. With a beautiful ceiling. You don't need a ceiling. Especially when the house of God was still in ruins. That means their spiritual life was in ruins. And so God had to send Haggai. Verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. How to consider? Let's see. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. So their thinking was, let me have enough physically, financially, economically. Then we will consider to rebuild the temple. God says, the reason why you never have enough, no matter how much you eat, you're always hungry. No matter how much you drink, you're always thirsty. No matter how much you try to fill into your purses, it's always empty. Because you have put the cart in front of the horse. Because you did not put God first. You are not spiritual, you are carnal. And that's why, because of carnality, no matter how you try to drink in the physical food, it will never be enough, because you are a child of God. When your spiritual life with the Lord is empty, you cannot fill that emptiness with carnal things, unless you are not born again. But if you are truly born again, you are truly a child of God. And you are not spiritual, and you are like Lot, you love the world, you are wayward. No matter how big your house is, no matter how large your bank account is, the emptiness is still there. Because these things cannot fill the spiritual bankruptcy that is in your heart because of your waywardness. It does not work that way. And that was the nation of Israel. They thought that by being economic, rich and politically stable, that would be enough. You are a spiritual nation. Not physical, not economical, not political. None of these things. And without the temple of God, Israel was forever hungry and thirsty and forever poor. Is that how you feel? You wait, thinking that when I am rich, then I can come and serve the Lord. You will never be rich. Never. That's what God said to Israel. In other words, if you don't come and rebuild the temple now, you never will. You want to wait some more, you will never rebuild. And thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Please underline the phrase, consider your ways. It means literally, set your heart on your own ways. Set your heart on your own ways. Not the ways of your neighbor. Don't criticize your neighbor. Why is he not serving like Peter? When God said to Peter, you're going to be sieved out by Satan. But what about the disciple Lord? God said to Peter, you mind your own business. What I do to John is my business. What I do to you, you take note. Consider your own ways. Consider, set your heart on your own ways. Not that of your neighbor. Check yourself. Whether the neighbor is serving or not serving, God will deal with the neighbor. Don't use your neighbor as an excuse not to serve the Lord. You answer to the Lord yourself. That's the meaning of the phrase, set your heart on your own ways. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, God said. Bring wood. Build a house. In other words, it is not because there is no material. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. So why do you want to live a life of spirituality? Because you want to glorify God. Not for any other reason. Not to show the leaders. But because it is the right thing to do, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be spiritual. You do not want to wait anymore. You do not want to waste anymore. Because you want to be a person, a Christian, who will praise the Lord. Who will bring glory to Him by the way that you live. That's the motivation. I will be glorified, said the Lord, when God's people can have their sins cleansed, when they can begin sin offering, burnt offering, and start to worship with all their offerings. Where the smoke will grow, will climb up into the skies. Sweet savour sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. Where Israel will once more become a spiritual testimony to a world in spiritual deadness and darkness. When your life begins to shine forth again, when people look at your life, they see no more you. They see only Christ in your life. That's how God will be glorified. When even sinners will come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He reads your life and He sees Christ. He does not see your life. That's how we glorify God, by our lives and our testimony. That's what it means to be spiritual. Not how many verses we memorize, important though that may be. It's your life, your service, your testimony, a life of holiness. That's what spirituality is. Or else it is a waste. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste. You leave the house of God lying in waste, your life is a waste. That's a fact. You see, we fail to realize that there are two lives that we live. The spiritual life. Yes, the Bible tells us that once a person is saved, he is forever saved. He cannot lose his salvation. John chapter 10 and Romans 8 made that very clear. You can't lose your salvation the moment you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. But that does not mean that automatically the physical life that God has given to us in this world cannot be a wasted life. Many professing Christians have wasted that life. Why do you think God warns us in 1 Corinthians 3 that there will be Christians whose works will be tested by fire and it will be classified under wood, hay, and stubble, but their salvation will be saved like you save someone out of the skin of their teeth by snatching the twig out of the fire. Just saved, but nothing to show for. They have wasted their physical life, in other words. And that can happen to us just as it happened to Lot. And this economic crisis is a very good test of our heart condition. Carnal or spiritual? Carnal or spiritual? That's why, thank God for this economic crisis. To shake all of us up, to shake the world. That we cannot trust in man. We cannot trust in the might of all the so-called super economic titanic. Right? Nobody could imagine that Lehman Brothers and big insurance giant like AIG and these big motor companies like GM could collapse overnight, literally, so swiftly. Billionaires turned into paupers overnight. Does this not cause us to realize how true Scripture is? That gold and silver of this world will fade and it is absolutely worthless. Worthless. How much more do we need from the Lord to open our eyes as God's people? Can we not see that if we wait, we continue to waste? When the work of God lies in waste, Your life and my life is a waste. Do you know that? When you are not spiritual as God's children, you are wasting your life away by pursuing the things of the world which God has redeemed us out of by Christ's precious blood. Don't be like a dog going back to its vomit. Don't be like the pig that will go back to the mud and start swimming in the mud again. We have been delivered out of all these things by the blood of our Savior, have we not? If we have, then this life that God has given to us must not be carnal, or else it will be a waste. And the more we wait, the longer will be this line of waste that we have already been walking along. Let us stop. Let us turn around. Don't let the work of God, that is your house, your life, lie in waste. He that run every man unto his own house, you care only for your own things. That's what happened in those days. They care only for their own little castle in the air. That's all it is, a castle in the air. It's not real. Physical things will be destroyed, will be burned up, but what you do for Christ will last for eternity. They don't realize that. And that's why God said, you go run around in your own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. It is dried up. And the earth is stayed from her fruit. No fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labors of their hands. Everything dried up, including your women, no children. Everything. Because, remember in the Old Testament? In spirit, in truth, and in location. And because it is a national witness. Physical blessing to the nation equals spiritual blessing for the people of Israel. But for us in the church, physical blessing does not always equal spiritual blessings, because the church is people, not the building. Therefore, you do not have gold taps, you know, in the toilet, plated in gold. You don't do that. The temple was different. It was in spirit, in truth, and in location. The local church is people, not the building. The building may be beautiful, but if the people in the building are carnal, you think God is pleased? God is not pleased, absolutely, because the temple of the Holy Spirit is you, the Christian. And if your life and my life is a hypocrisy, only Christian in church, carnal when I go out, you think God is mocked by this kind of hypocrisy? God is not mocked. You think God did not know what Israel was doing for the past 16 years? Absolutely nothing. As long as the temple is lying in waste, the life of every Israelite, every Jew, was a waste. Because you live in sin, and everything you touch is stained by sin. You can't bring your offerings to God to have your sins cleansed. That's why they're always hungry, always poor, always thirsty. I hope that is not true of any one of us. Not at all. Don't wait any longer. Stop wasting. The third W, verse 12 to verse 15, wake up. That's the word, wake up. Verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit. That's the meaning of the word stirred up. Wake up. It's like someone who is in stupor, you know, sleeping, and then you just hold on to the person's shoulder and shook the person up. That's the meaning of the word stir up. Wake up. Don't wait anymore. Don't waste anymore. Wake up. The third W. Please, wake up for your own soul's sake. Then Zerubbabel, verse 12, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedad, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. And what did they do? How did they respond? Thank God they responded correctly. They woke up. How did they wake up? They obeyed the voice of the Lord. They don't argue anymore. They submitted themselves to the Lord. Lord, you are right. We will now start to rebuild. We will do it. They obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God. And the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. That's how you begin. You begin to fear the Lord. Lord, you are right. We must do what you ask us to do. I must turn my wasteful carnal life around. No more of carnality. I must come back to the Lord in prayer, in the study of God's word, in service, in living a holy life. Come back to the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, say the Lord. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. You think the enemies have gone to sleep? The enemies are still around. You read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah.
detailed account of these incidents. The enemies were still there. You think just because you want to do it, this warm feeling, this desire is good enough? No, you must know, God says, I will be with you. Did the Lord not give us the same in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20? We miss the heart and soul of the Great Commission. We so often remember, go ye therefore, right? We forget about verse 18 where Jesus told the disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then sandwiched in between this verse and verse 20 is this go part, baptizing part, teaching them part. We forget about verse 20 where God promised us through Jesus Christ, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. God didn't say, an angel, I have all power in heaven and in earth. You don't be afraid of your enemies. You don't even be afraid of the king of Persia, who at the time was at the height of his might and power. And the borders of the king of Persia far exceeded even that of Babylonian during the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. Don't be afraid of Satan. Don't be afraid of his demons. Don't be afraid of any man who tried to resist you when you do the work and the will of God. They will. You think they won't? Because it is a spiritual warfare. And that's why God did not say, an angel will go with you. God says, I will go with you. Just as God said to Israel, I will be with you. Nothing less than the very presence of God. And that's why, don't wait. Don't waste. Wake up. Wake up. Delay no longer. I will be with you, the Lord says. And the Lord stirred up, woke up the spirit of Zerubbabel. Who was he? The governor of Judah. Political leader. The spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. Spiritual leader. And the spirit of all the remnant of the people. So it has to be entire nation. The leaders who are stirred up is not good enough. Same with the church. The leaders might have the intensity and the fervency and the desire. If the people are not stirred up, they are not awake. There is very little the leaders could do. It must be the whole church. It cannot be just a scattering of a few members. It must be the whole church. And thank God, all of them were stirred up in the Spirit. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So from verse 1 to verse 15, how many days had lapsed? You counted? 23 days, right? Verse 1, first day of the month. Verse 15, 24th day of the 6th month, same month. So 23 days. Now they did not complete in 23 days. It took Haggai 23 days to challenge and to move the people who had been in stupor for 16 long years. The temple will be completed, as you study the book of Ezra, in the year 516 BC. 520, Haggai was sent by God to give them this word. 516 BC, 4 years to complete the temple, and they did. And the people did. Were there resistance? Yes. They were still there, the Samaritans. Why do you think in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Samaritans can't stand the Jews, the Jews can't stand the Samaritans? Because of this incident. When they were rebuffed, when they offered their help to help the Jews rebuild the temple, the Jews told them, you can't, because your God is different from our God, and therefore you are unclean. You cannot help us to do God's work, because only God's people can do God's work. Not personal. The reasons were spiritual. And because of that, they turned the political might against the people of God. They used the law against the people of God. Today's enemies are the same. If you decide not to wait any longer to come back to the Lord, to serve Him, to be spiritual, if you realize that you don't want to waste your life any longer, and you want to wake up and come back to the Lord, be prepared for resistance, for persecution, for difficulties. It does not mean that everything now will be rosy. It may even be more difficult, but it is the right kind of difficulty, because when you are slumbering, Satan will leave you alone. Because you're not doing anything that is of the light.
But when light wants to shine, what happens to darkness? Darkness disappears.
And those who love darkness and do their deeds in darkness, they are not going to appreciate you. You go to work now with all your Christian principles shining bright like the noonday sun. You know what will show off? It will show up those who are unbelievers who love to cut corners. When you are diligent, what do they call you? Sabo King. You sabotage us. Why do you want to be so hardworking? When you go to work on time, when you go to work late, you tell the boss, I'm sorry I'm late. You do not want to play with all the cards anymore. You know, I don't know whether you have to clock in, clock out or not. We had a student in a long time ago in university days. They have to clock in, clock out. And so he was a student in our FCM. Fundamental Christian Ministry to the university students. And so they were engineering students. And so during some of their vacation, they have to be out to do some of these schoolwork in the offices. And so he was late. And all of them have to clock in, clock out, punch the time and write down the record the time when they were supposed to be in. And so he learned from the Bible that he has to be honest. He cannot tell lies. So he's supposed to be there by 9 a.m., for example. And he was ready 9:05. And there were a queue of people behind him. And these were all, not like him, students. They were all full-time, working in the company. The practice was, everybody who comes late, they put 9:00. So, now you are caught. So what do you do? Two things, maybe three. One, you join them, you put 9:00. Or 9:05. Or you run behind the queue. So, option one, you lie. Option three, you're a coward. Option two, you pay the price. What do you think is the correct thing to do? These people are the rice bowl, you know. The name of the game is 9:00. So what do you do? Only 5 minutes, right? And you have no time to sit there and concentrate and contemplate, you know. Because you contemplate 9:06, 9:07, right? 9:06. By the time you finish 9:10, worse. You write that and then you have to decide. In other words, you have to decide before you face all this difficulty, am I going to defile myself and my God, or am I under any and every circumstance, like young Daniel, never to defile myself? You have to decide. Thank God he put 9:05. He shared with us. But from that day onwards, they gave him nightmares. They tried their best to sabo him because they knew that his stay there was like a test, an exam. The boss will have to write back to the university of how so and so has conducted himself. He paid the price. But he had to stand up, or else he cannot face God. So when you wake up, why do you think God promised Israel? Fear him. When you fear God, you fear no man. The Lord is with you. You don't flinch. You don't cringe. The Lord will see you through. No matter what, you don't compromise. What's the worst that could happen to him? You get an F, you get an F for that subject. So what? F in the eyes of man, you get a distinction in the eyes of God. You did not fail the Lord. If he had put 9:05, oh, the man behind him will pat him on the back. He will be put, you are part of us, put on a pedestal. Good, you did well. Good words from men. What do you think God will say to him? You failed me. If you can't be faithful in little things, Jesus says you cannot be faithful in big things. And that's true. Do you know what the big things are? The big things will be the lives and the souls of people who look up to you. You can't even be faithful in simple things like dollars and cents, like the things you do out in the world. You think God will entrust into your life the souls and lives of people that pertains to eternity in heaven or in hell? So when you wake up, you rest assured the Lord will be by your side to see you through. No matter how difficult the economic crisis is, the Lord will take care of His own. He promises that. He will protect you. He will watch over you. You live for Him. But if you do not live for Him, you tell Him, wait, Lord, wait. Wait.
time and tide waits for no man. The clock will continue to tick on. With every second that you tell the Lord, wait, it's a second wasted. Wake up. Don't wait anymore. Don't waste anymore. Your life is precious. This life that God has given to us to live. There are many who came to know the Lord while they are languishing in beds of affliction in hospital. And very soon after they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, either a few hours or a few days time down the road, the Lord took them home. The Lord has saved you. The Lord has saved us. Given us good health and strength. You think it's just to put us on the pedestal? That this life that God has given to us is to be lived any way we like? He did not redeem us with gold and with silver that is cheap. He redeemed us with His own precious blood, the blood of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how dare we therefore, after we say that we are Christians, washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we tell God, God says, you live for me, and we tell Him, wait. How can we say that to our Heavenly Father who has given us so much, is everything? And then now He expects from us to live for Him. In prayer, in the study of His Word, to live a holy life. That's all, not perfect life. He knew it's not perfection, but holy living. That's what He asked of us. And we tell Him, wait, no time. God says, don't waste your life. But wake up. As long as there is still breath, as long as there is still daylight, serve Him. Be spiritual. Don't be carnal. You will be the loser. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of Thy holy book. For we acknowledge that time and time again we allow the philosophies and the ways of the world to crowd out that which is righteous, that which is right according to Holy Scriptures. Help us therefore, O Lord, to procrastinate no longer, that this life that Thou hast redeemed with Christ's precious blood will be a life that will not be lying in waste, but a life that is lived for the glory and honor of Thy holy name. For Thou hast promised us that Thou wilt be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And may we, thank Thee, take stock of what Thou hast redeemed us for. And Thou hast put us in this city of Sydney, that we may be a witness and a testimony to those around us. Help us therefore, O Lord, from henceforth to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. As Thy blood-bought children, no more the life of carnality, but the life of spirituality. Hear our humble cry, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, and sanctify us by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.